It was warm earlier, but the air feels cool now. Or perhaps it is my nakedness and the stillness that are making it feel that way. I shift a little, and the roughness of the rope against the now raw skin of my wrists and my neck makes me wince and be still again. The breeze coming off the sea smells of summer, and I think back to my excitement at the prospect of a whole evening with you. I suppose it was a whole evening in the end. It's really night time now. I remember the warmth of your hand as it took mine, the surprising lightness of your touch as you placed the other against the small of my back. "Come on," you said, "let's go down to the sea." I grew up by the sea. I've always loved it late at night. I felt so daring telling you about my teenage fumblings under the pier after dark. You smiled indulgently and gestured to an inlet along the beach a little. "I've fucked quite a few girls there," you told me, their faces pressed into the sand. I giggled. "But that's not where you're taking me," I said. "No, that is not where I am taking you." The oldest part of the pier is quite secluded. I thought maybe we would go there for a little privacy, so I was surprised when you stopped by a pillar quite far out, but clearly visible from the promenade. Surprise turned to some unease when you pulled a coil of rope from your backpack. "Are you..." I didn't even know what I was asking. "Are you sure, I suppose? Do you really mean to do this, here?" But then you gave me one of those looks. "Yes, silly girl," it said. "I am sure." I would have done anything for you then. I still would, I suppose, although whether I'll get the chance to now isn't clear. I squirm against the ropes again in the vain hope that they will loosen, but of course they don't. It was exciting and hypnotic watching you draw them between your hands, calmly and surely using different lengths to secure first my wrists to the crossbeam above me, stretching my arms up and behind me, then my waist, pulling me into a bend, putting my head and hips level, leaving me balancing on my toes, until you placed the final coil of rope around my neck. Just a little too tightly to be comfortable. Your fingers and then your cock against my lips helped calm me. I opened my mouth hungrily for you, and you slid into my throat in a single long, smooth movement. I was so needy for you, but unprepared for the sudden pressure of the tip of your cock against the back of my throat. You chuckled quietly at my spluttered gasps and waited until my gag reflex accepted you before pulling back and slamming into my mouth, causing the whole process to begin again. I lick my lips at the memory of the smell of you, almost imagining I can taste your cum on my tongue. You didn't come in my mouth, though, so this is just my imagination. Instead, you withdrew, leaving me bereft and off balance, choking myself further on the rope around my neck. I felt afraid when you disappeared behind me, but the sound of your belt sliding free of its loops was unmistakable. Knowing that the first blow was coming did nothing to make it less of a shock. Hearing my own cry made me suddenly afraid we would be discovered, and so, as you rained blows on my bare ass and thighs, I strove to be quiet. This, I suppose, was dissatisfying for you. When you switched instead to beating my cunt with the stiff leather, I lost all ability to control my sobbing. I remember begging, increasingly incoherently, for you to stop. I don't recall if you replied at all, other than to ignore me, which I suppose is a response of sorts. I grimace now at the soreness and the sting of the cool air on my wounds. The blood has long since dried, but each movement reopens my cuts a little and the sea air with the salt it carries draws the pain out, even now, hours later. A trickle of blood runs down the back of my leg, and I feel my face burn in memory of your fingers shoving roughly into my cunt. You are so fucking wet. I can't believe this shit gets you off. The sneer in your voice hurt me far more deeply than the belt. I tried to protest, to claim otherwise, but it sounded hollow even to my ears. All pretense at being quiet was entirely abandoned when, using only the wetness from my treacherous cunt, you slammed your cock deeply into my ass. The slapping of your body against mine and my screams echoed together under the pier, making the beach into a sonic torture chamber. Each time you drew back, I felt a confusing mixture of relief and loss, both overwhelmed with pain when you buried your cock inside me once more. With a final grunt, you came. The last I remember of you is your disdainful sneer, fucking pathetic, as you withdrew. Even now, there is a part of me that imagines you will return, but I know you won't. You turned and walked away, leaving me tied here, naked and alone, before your cum even began trickling down my legs. In the hours since that moment, I have tortured myself wondering why you left me here, wondering what I did that so displeased you, wondering if maybe you haven't really abandoned me, maybe this is a test or a game, maybe you are watching me from the promenade, enjoying my distress. But really, I know that you are gone. I wonder, in passing, what happened to the girls you fucked in the cove you pointed out earlier. Did you leave them here too? Or was one of them waiting for you at home when you left me here? Two things happen, almost simultaneously, to interrupt my agonizing recall of the events that led me to be trapped here, naked under this pier, in the very early morning. I feel water splash against my toes, and at the exact same moment I hear the unmistakable voice of a teenage boy calling to his friends.